good morning out there in the web world, I guess we would say. We will have the cam available starting Wednesday, we hope. It did take a new camera, and the one that I tried to get wasn't what I wanted, what we needed, so had to send it back, get another one. But it's coming, and I sure don't want to be one of those preachers that says, always begging for money, but I'm not also too proud to say if anybody wants to help us buy this cam, that would be, I never say no to that sort of a thing. For you, especially you audio watchers, video watchers out there. But anyway, enough of that talk. Here we go. We're doing something a little different this morning, not the gainsayer stuff. I got more of that. We'll do some of that tonight or part two of this if I don't get it done. And this one, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, in all the years when I was pastoring, even back in Touche and stuff, and even before that with Giffen and all those guys, I always wondered why it is that when pastors are always talking about the days of apostasy, you know, these are the falling away, and these are the days of Laodicea, which I don't believe they are. We're very close to them, but we can't be, because that's when God spews the church out of his mouth, and he's not doing that. That's not Paul's teachings at all there. But they would claim the Laodicean thing. And yet, they would think that their church is growing. Or they would put the guilt trip on people to make the church grow. Or they would expect the church to grow. They put the pressure. They demand that their church would grow. So I always wonder, why do they think their church is capable of growing when we are in the days of apostasy? And I was thinking about that this morning. I also got to thinking, well, that's just the same thing with us. You know, look into the Paul stuff. And trying to show people Paul only, and not how you can't mix them all together, the Gospels and the back books of the what I call the tribulation books. And here we have Sally and her family. Maybe one is going to join up with us after they hear all this stuff, and other people. And we still want more people to listen in. And the same thing goes with us, that if we're actually in these days of apostasy, then we know there's an apostasy even away from Paul. In fact, even in Paul's days, there was a conspiracy against Paul and his teachings, and that goes on today. If Romans 11 is what we say it is in verse 22, if thou, meaning the Gentiles, continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. So why do we think that we're going to, you know, grow with the Paul stuff? Well, partly because I think there's a lot of people out there that realize that what's going on in their church just isn't working. It's just, there's all this talk about the power of prayer, there's all this talk about growing. There's all this talk about God punishing you and getting after you, and you know the story. The list goes on and on. So those people are going to have to figure out a way to find out what's going on here. And if they just, we've also come to realize that if they don't think there's a problem, if they don't realize there's a problem within their own church or family or whatever, then Paul doesn't make sense to them. They're willing to do the Paul mixed with the Gospels and the Hebrew books and everything, but. And that's the Great Commission crowd, and that's who this whole Gainsayer series is after. This Gainsayer series is after is the Gospels and Hebrews to Jude people, and they use Paul here and there and everywhere, and they like to say, "Yeah, we follow Paul." Yeah, no, you don't follow Paul. You might pick one or two things out of Timothy or Titus, maybe if it's appropriate, but you pull something out of Corinthians, that kind of stuff. But no, we have to remember that. As we get closer to the rapture, the key for the rapture is whether the Gentiles are willing to keep hearing the goodness of hearing about the goodness of God, and that's Paul's teaching. Paul is the only one that teaches the statement, the goodness of God. Not the severity of God, but the goodness of God. So as this world, as this country and these Christians, even the Christians, if they are Christians, probably not, are tired of the Paul stuff and reject the Paul stuff, then we're getting closer to the rapture. When God cuts off the Gentiles. And so if that's the case, we have the same thing to be concerned about. Are we going to keep growing in numbers? We've had a lot of people, since we started this website back in Touche, come and then go. And I think it's not the doctrine of Paul in Romans. It's the doctrine, it's the sound doctrine in Timothy and Titus that scares people away. So how many more are going to be willing to pick up on the Paul stuff? Or is this apostasy serious? Well, the apostasy is serious. They're not interested in the rightly divided King James Bible following Paul's teachings only, realizing that 1 Corinthians 13:10 has to be the King James Bible, or tongues and signs and miracles are still okay today. So there's that. So anyway, this whole thing this morning is about apostasy. People have trouble. Let me rephrase that thing here. That even the gamesters, the ones that we're talking about, think that everyone else is in Laodicea. Everyone else is in apostasy. But for some reason, they don't think they are. They think that God is blessing them. God is honoring their clean heart and their clean desire and their clean walk. They have to confess once in a while. They say 1 John 1:9, you know, standard stuff. But they think they've got it all together. They, at least if nothing else, they think they understand it all. But then somebody shows up and really messes with their pudding. And that's Paul. Now, everybody, this message today and tonight is going to be kind of a standard one in some respects for somebody who maybe hasn't heard this before or is still kind of a mild gainsayer. But see, when Paul arrives, the teachings of Paul, they don't realize, apparently, that these are the teachings of the risen Savior. Paul is not our God. Paul did not die for me. I wish they just used that for an excuse. They believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, but they still want to follow his teachings when he was down here on the earth before he died, before he did all that he did, that he talks about through Paul. Why they want to reject the risen Savior's words to Paul? Yeah, well, we know why. The devil wants to hinder that sort of a thing. So when Paul arrives, he calls them accursed for teaching what they teach, for teaching the Gospels and teaching Hebrews to Jude to an application status today. That's different than what Paul preaches, and he calls them accursed. And that's really the risen Savior calling them that. The risen Savior, through Paul, calls them men of corrupt minds. Now, the risen Savior, through Paul, says that these men are destitute of the truth. Now, think of some pastors that you know. Think of some, they're nice people, they care, they love their people, sort of, kind of, I guess they say they do. But if they're not teaching Paul only, and I wish we could get a hold of this, even we still, our family, website family, still has trouble with this sometimes, that if they're not teaching Paul only, that doesn't mean they can't teach out of Genesis to Malachi. They can still teach out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts. They can still teach out of Hebrews to Jude. But there's reasons for teaching that stuff, and none of that is applicable. You can't even use them for an example of a proper family lifestyle. You know, we're going to be teaching about Jannies and Jambres. That's how Scorby pronounces them anyway. Jannies and Jambres. Now that's old Testament. So we can get something from those guys. But we can't go back into the Old Testament books and try to apply them and use them for illustrations that this is how it should be. We can learn from these two guys. But if the pastor is not preaching Paul only towards our walk towards the judgment seat of Christ, then Paul says these guys, the risen Savior, as through Paul, says these guys are men of corrupt minds, they're cursed, they're destitute of the truth. He tells us that their claim of gain is godliness is wrong, so they claim that gain is godliness, and that's wrong. He tells us that these people's sermons and their teachings are profane and vain babblings. If they're not teaching rightly dividing King James Bible, they're good as sermons as they are, you know, fair words and good speeches, or good words and fair speeches, they're profane and vain babblings. And what they teach and preach will eat as doth a canker, he says. He tells us to withdraw from them before they overthrow our faith. And I know, I've learned since I started doing this, and I watch some people kind of hang around their pastors and their church people still. They still eventually throw out the Paul stuff and go back, and they accept it. For at one time, they were really strong against it. Paul says that they have a form of godliness and a denying the power thereof. Now, as I was writing these notes down, think about this, denying the power, they deny the power there. What power for what? Power for blessings, power for God to heal us, power for us to have a successful business, power for us to have... No, look at what... We know what Christ has done, not only for us, but to us. Took care of the law. Our sins are not imputed. There is no law, so there are no sins. There is no transgression, there is no sin to be imputed. all the stuff that Christ did to us, cut our soul away from our flesh. That's the power. They deny that. Their teachings deny all the stuff that Paul taught about Christ has done to us. That's the power they're denying. Because, you know, as soon as I was reading that verse last night, in the form of godliness, denying the power thereof, and right away I'm thinking, well, what about us Paul guys? Where's our power? Why can't we find ourselves a husband or a wife? Why can't we find ourselves the kids just having a great time with this stuff? Why can't we find a good job? Why can't we have the health ourselves? Is God going to bless us because now we understand the truth? No, that's not what he's talking about at all. We live in a sinful world. We live in a world that is sin. We live in a world that belongs to the devil. He's a god of this world at this time. And things are going to happen that are horrible, that are rotten to the core, and it's not going to change the physical blessed life because all of a sudden we got a hold of Paul and the risen Savior. But we do not deny what Christ did to us. We teach that. We preach that. We show people. When people get excited about their Bible, it's not just because they're excited about their Bible. They've come to realize what Christ really did to us. The moment we were truly saved, which I tend to think probably still isn't until we really get a grasp on the Paul teachings, the King James Bible rightly divided, because that's the gospel of our salvation. An NIV, we're preaching the gospels for salvation. I mean, you preach the gospel for salvation. All you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So, you know, when your salvation really grasps a hold, something happens to us. We don't just have that desire to do right, like this Gainsay has been saying, but we do have a battle now between our flesh and our soul. We want to serve the mind of God. I better put the screen back up in case something actually goes wrong in here too, you know. I'll do that. But anyway, I got to thinking maybe I just lost it. Nobody's there telling me that. Okay. Okay, so anyway, that's the power that's talking about. We understand the power of the risen Savior. Look what he did to us. Look what he did for us. And the only place you learn that is in Paul's writings. Anyway, so this Paul guy, he comes along the scene and he tells these people who think that, yes, there's an apostasy, but not in my church. Well, he finds out that there's apostasy in their church too. And we find out even with the Paul guys that there would be apostasy if there was law. Well, there's no law. All things are lawful. So he says to these people, that they are men of corrupt minds. He tells us to withdraw from these people. These men are men of corrupt minds. You know, good preachers, good pastors, fair words, good speeches, enticing words of man's wisdom. They're nice guys. And when Paul comes in, it's just, wow, what a slap. He says they are reprobate concerning the faith. Not just reprobate concerning faith, but concerning the faith. Well, what's the faith? Well, the faith is the faith of Jesus Christ. None of these guys know about that. Nobody knows about his faith that we receive. So what he's doing here is he reminds us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he reminds us of these two guys, Jannes and Jambres. So let's look at these guys for a minute here. And the comparison here, because see, this is during the apostasy time. This is not during the tribulation, but it's getting close to it. And we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll just start at the beginning of the chapter here. And we see what so many people think isn't today yet. And it's hard to see yourself. You know what I mean? So we read in chapter 3, he starts right off with, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. So we know that this is the way it's going to be during the tribulation. That's from that standpoint. Not a problem. But we also know that this is not the tribulation, because other phrases he used are latter times and et cetera, et cetera. So we know that this is coming. Men shall be lovers of their own self. That's happening more and more. And then we know the list. It goes on down. Verse 5, having a form of godliness. This is all what's going to be taking place during the tribulation, but it still tells us that this is what's happening now more and more. I think that makes sense to everybody. You've heard me say it 1,000 times anyway. But we see in verse 8, he says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these, who are these? These are the people that will be during the tribulation, but there's more and more of these people who resist the truth. They don't just not agree, they're resisting it. That means they fight back. They resist it. They don't want to hear it. They do their best to stay away from it. They do their best to stop you from talking about it. And he's got a colon there, so there's a, you know, just kind of phrases afterwards, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now, who are these Jannes and Jambres? Well, whoever they are, they resisted the truth. And they were men of corrupt minds, their mind was corrupted, and they were a reprobate concerning the faith. Now, can they be, could that be talking about the faith of Jesus Christ back in the Old Testament when Jannes and Jambres were there? No. But what Paul's talking about is these guys that are reprobate are these modern guys here. Because Jannes and Jambres resisted the truth and they were reprobate concerning having faith. Because these guys go back to Moses when Moses was in Exodus chapter 7. Let's go to Exodus 7. And we know in the Old Testament that these folks had to have faith. They had to have their faith. And I'll say it again. The great chapter in Hebrews 11 about the heroes of the faith, it was their faith that those people had. It was not the faith of Jesus Christ. However, I think I said Exodus, but Exodus chapter 7, as he says there in Timothy, as did as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. So let's go back to Jannes and Jambres, and let's see what these guys did, keeping in mind that whatever it is that they did when they resisted the truth is happening today more and more. So see, now here for those of us, those out there that say that I don't preach anything but Paul, we teach from the Genesis to Revelation. I tell people, listen, read your whole Bible. Don't be like the mid-Acts crowd and the Bereans that say just read the Paul stuff. And they even break that down. Don't even read the Timothy and Titus stuff because most of the mid-Acts people have a horrible testimony for standards and their music and their modesty. They don't have that kind of stuff. They just like to read the doctrinal depths of when the church began, et cetera, most of the cases. So we're going to look at these guys, Jannes and Jambres, and remember that so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. That's what's going on today. Just like it did for these two guys. Now let's look at these guys. Chapter 7, Exodus. Let's see what goes on here. Let's go to verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Okay? And Moses and Aaron went into unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. That's pretty exciting. You know, if a pastor could do that today, well, maybe some of them can. You know, let's keep reading here. Verse 11, then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. So now, I know we're making an assumption here, but these are the two guys, Jannes and Jambres, resisted Moses, and I guess it's the common knowledge that these guys, this is where these guys are at, resisting Moses. So these sorcerers, these magicians, these Jannes and Jambres that come in here, who are corrupt men of corrupt minds, and they reprobate, kind of a thing, as he talks about here. And here's what they do. Then Pharaoh called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. Well, that's pretty exciting. Now, did God make that happen? Well, God's not going to make that happen. Somebody else did. Because it actually said they did. They became a serpent. Now, note, Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. So those serpents were eaten up by God's serpents. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Okay, so here's what I want you to see this morning. What Paul teaches for truth, what the risen Savior teaches people today, the modern Christian is going to come, the modern pastor, the modern preacher, the modern men are going to come along and they're going to throw something similar. And people are going to fall for it. And they're going to do something that's going to make people see that these other guys are godly, and they're pastoral, and they're speaking the truth. When in reality, we know that these preachers today, they're a corrupt mind. They're destitute of the truth. They believe that gain is godly, so they're going to have to do something to make the gain to show their godliness. We know that they're preaching profane and vain babbling. Their good words and fair speeches are profane and vain babbling. We know that what they preach and teach is going to destroy those people eventually, eat as doth a canker. We know that they're going to overthrow the faith of people eventually. We know that they have a form of godliness. We see it every Sunday morning and Sunday night. And if they deny the power, they actually deny what Jesus Christ did since he rose. They deny that. So, what do? They've got to do something that looks like a miracle, or a great sign, or a wonder. That's the gist of the sermon this morning, as I talked this morning. Let's look at the next one. Let's go to 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. What happens when these people see what their pastors preach, and they see the blessings, and they see all the great things that take place, because everybody pays money, now they can build a parking lot. Don't you see the gain kind of stuff, you know? And Frank and Betty, well, they've been coming to church all the time, and they got a great job, they got great money. What about those people that come to church all the time and don't have anything? What's going on here? Are they not being blessed? I mean, you know, we know the story. We've been there. We've all seen this sort of thing. And people get hard towards Paul's teaching. And they don't realize that they're actually becoming hard against the teachings of the risen Savior. So as these Jannies and Jambres guys resist the truth, we got the preachers and the pastors and the men today, and I guess if the ladies in the pulpit, they're doing the same thing, but they're out of order anyway. But more and more this is taking place even in the families. That people get hard against this Paul stuff. They get hard against the King James Bible. They resist. They not only just not accept it, they resist it. They will fight you tooth and nail over this Paul stuff. They will fight us tooth and nail over rightly dividing the King James Bible. So the heart is hardened. Get thee into Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out into the water. And thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come, and the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldst not hear. Thus saith the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. Okay, so here's the next one now. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, Take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. Okay, that's pretty serious. That's pretty miraculous. Quite a sign. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh. Now, this is really important. And in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. Now, why is this important? Well, this is something I noticed last night. Like, I haven't read this before, but I have. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. There was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Okay? Now go back to verse 20. Notice it said the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh. Okay, verse 22. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. So these magicians, again, Jannies and Jambres, come along, and what water do they have to turn to blood? Because the waters had already been turned to blood. And that question just, wait a minute, was there any water somewhere that hadn't been turned to blood yet? Because these guys had to do it. Or do we find the only mistake in the King James Bible? No way. All through what God was telling these guys to do, they had to do the water that was in Pharaoh's sight. He keeps mentioning the waters that were in the river. But he also said, that the water in the streams, upon the rivers, upon their ponds, upon all the pools of water, that they may become blood, that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, was he referring to the fact that maybe these magicians were going to come and do the same thing to what was left? And how did Pharaoh know that these guys turned water to blood? There must have been some water somewhere that hadn't been turned to blood yet. Anyway, that's just a sidelight thought. But what we need to see is these guys who were destitute of truth, these guys who were corrupt minds and reprobate, they did the same thing. Not quite the same thing. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Okay? So there we have it. These guys were doing miracles just like Aaron and Paul Moses were doing, but not quite the same. Not quite the same. But it convinced Pharaoh that what you guys doing, no big deal. So if we got these Paul people that are just living the worldly life, what's the big deal? Why do Christians, what's the point? You're going to a church where the guy preaches Genesis, Revelation, emphasizes Paul once in a while? Or you're just living a life that you look like modern Christians, you sound like modern Christians, you dress like them, you listen to their music, the same kind of stuff, you go places they go to. Ah, but you're a Paul person. I know, all things are awful. I realize that. But we also got to realize not all things are expedient. If they cause somebody to stumble, if they don't edify, if it's an occasion for the flesh, and if it's a power over you, we're still told not to do those things. But they're not listed as a sin. They're listed as a bad work, which will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you've really got to get a hold of that thing. Otherwise, you're no different than these modern Christians who are teaching the Gospels, and they're teaching Hebrews to Paul, Hebrews to Jude, and they're putting a guilt trip on you. These men, again, of modern days, they're doing just like Janus and Jambres. They had to show something. They had to show a sign. They've got to show something going. They've got to show the growth of their church. They've got to show the increase in their bank account. I know some pastors, and I've even got some friends back in the olden days, that their church had like, $100,000 in their bank. And they're preaching apostasy. But what good is it going to do to get raptured out of here with $100,000 in your bank? I'm struggling to come up with a couple hundred bucks to buy a camera. Or to pay for the website once a year. Or to fix something that breaks. And what are our struggles? Because those people that say that there's a gain is godliness, then they also say that if you don't have a lot of people on your website, then you must not be godly. You must not be teaching the right stuff. No, I just know that as we get into closer to the tribulation, fewer and fewer people are going to want to hear about Paul. Paul even says in Timothy to preach in season and out of season. We are out of season. So it still has to take place. So I'm excited that we can actually fix the video again. Not that there's anything to see in here. It's in my office, my room. But it just encourages me to keep going forward with what needs to be preached. Simple, plain and simple, Paul only. So what are these guys are doing? They're doing signs. They're doing wonders in their churches. They're doing miracles in some cases. Just like Janus and Jambres did. And yet these two guys, God said, are corrupt. Their minds are corrupt. They resist the truth. Okay, let's do a third one here. Go down to verse chapter 8. It's chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses. How are we doing for time? Okay. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Now, if we want to try to spiritualize this thing, that's what we're telling people. The risen Savior is saying, you guys out there, let them go. Let these people go so they can serve the risen Savior. Let them go. And if I refuse to let them go, I will smite all their borders with frogs. Now we know that isn't going to happen. So somebody will take that message right there, and if they were going to say this, they say, see, God is going to smite you with something. Not going to be frogs, but he's going to get you for something. No, this is not how God operates today. This is not what I'm saying in the sermon. In this day, he said if to Pharaoh, if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. That is not Paul's teaching. But we're learning something from these guys, that these guys did miracles, signs, and wonders to get people to believe. That's my point here. So if you think I'm supposed to be preaching the Old Testament a lot, I don't believe that. We need to read it. We need to study it. We can learn from God. We can be admonished for it. We can, if he says for learning, There's reasons for reading it, but not to let some preacher put on me that God's going to smite me because I'm not serving him right. That is not the way God operates according to Paul's teachings. Anyway, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. That's pretty horrible. Got to admit, these plagues were pretty serious stuff. And these are pretty stubborn people. Pharaoh's a stubborn guy. But come on, haven't we shown people that believe the King James Bible is the Word of God? Haven't we shown them what Paul says? Haven't we shown them it says to follow Paul? Haven't we shown them what Paul teaches is different than what the Gospels say? Haven't we shown them what Peter teaches in Peter and First and John teaches in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and what James teaches and what Jude teaches is different than Paul? Haven't we shown them this stuff? And they're hard to it. They resist it. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. Well, look at verse 7. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Now, how did they do this? I don't know, but they did it. And so Pharaoh saw that. He saw that, well, hey, my guys could do the same thing. These pastors say today, well, our people have the same joy. They're probably happier than the Paul guys. They think God's blessing them because they're such good people. They think their prayers are being answered until they lose one of their children or something. Where was God at? Well, it's just that God wanted to take your child home. Well, he did. What about a couple months ago, I know my son had a friend who was in the Marines when he was out of the Marines now, but one of his friends in the Marines was killed. And this guy had just gotten married, brand new kids and the whole spiel. And what the pastor said was, well, God just wanted to take him home. Really? I mean, God wanted to take this guy home and leave his wife, his new wife, and these children without a father? What kind of a worthless answer is that to tell somebody? So, you know, these people can brag about God's blessings all they want, but when they get real, they fail. They don't have the answers for people. Okay. So these magicians did so. They did the same thing and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. So my point here is the modern preachers today, the men of today, as he says in Timothy there, these guys turn to signs and wonders. And we're doing the same thing. Not me, but pastors and preachers. They're doing this, go back to Timothy, they're doing the same thing that Jannes and Jambres did. As they withstood Moses, so do these, and that's the preachers and the people up in verses 1 through 7 there, they're doing the same thing. They're falling for signs and miracles. And these preachers and pastors today, look at verse 6, They, which creep into houses and leave captive silly women laden with sins, led away the divers, lest ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what we're dealing with today. We're dealing with people that have been taught by men, by leaders, by preachers, by pastors, by teachers, by professors, and they're good people. Some of our former best friends were pastors. And a lot of people can't leave their church because they've got to have a church to go to. What's the word we talked about that? They're addicted to going to church. I mean, I miss the singing of the hymns. And when Mark plays an old song, an old sermon from the past, when I'm not here, most of them have the singing before him when we were back in Tushu. I miss that. It was fun. I enjoyed singing and getting up and getting ready to do the sermon, having the people there. I mean, I wish we were all here. If we could get all the people together from the website together into one place, it would be great. It'd be fantastic. Get the Floyds there, and I can't go down the list. You know, it'd be fantastic. But see, that's not going to happen. These are the days of apostasy. There is a falling away. And in Thessalonians, where Paul talks about it, 2 Thessalonians, He reminds us in verse 13 that, but we are bound to give thanks. We, that's the Paul guys. So we don't have to worry about this tribulation. We don't have to worry about what these guys are doing. But it's discouraging and it's frustrating to hear people say, oh, my pastor, he talks about Paul once in a while, so he's all right. You know, they don't have the guts to get out. And they can accuse me of preaching Paul only, but they don't listen. They don't realize that I don't preach Paul only, but I do preach Paul only for a judgment seat of Christ. And these guys that are out there, everything is going fine until Paul shows up. So when you show up with Paul, you're going to stir the waves by the boat. Nobody likes to do that because they accuse you of causing division. But you're not causing division. The division's been done, divided a long time ago. You're trying to put it back together again, is what you're trying to do. So we're looking to these Jannes and Jambres guys as an illustration for us that the way that they withstood Moses, this is how they're doing it today. And Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses with miracles and signs, just like Moses was doing Aaron, because that's what Jews needed. They needed a sign. And Pharaoh didn't fall for the sign, because these guys came along and did the same thing. Now, after this comes the lice and the dust and all that, and these magicians couldn't do that. So see, if we push this case far enough, they're going to find out that what those guys are preaching is not what Paul's teaching. And then suddenly those guys cannot preach the same thing that we're preaching. They can't tell you that Christ said, and he handled, though he took care of the law, so there is no more law, there is no transgression. They can't tell you that one. They just have to tell you to confess. The things that Paul teaches about spiritual circumcision, they can't teach that. They can't do any kind of a magical sign, magical wonder, some kind of a miracle to show that. We show that in this Bible. This Bible is a miracle. What Jesus Christ did to me is miraculous. So, next question. So we know what they do, what they're doing. They're doing signs and wonders. Now, here's the question for tonight. Who are these people? Where are they at today? Who are their targets? And are we just talking about the charismatics? Because we all know signs and wonders. We know the teachings. We know if you go to the Great Commission in Mark chapter 16, which we're going to right now, Mark chapter 16, anybody who preaches the Great Commission has to preach that there are signs that follow. Miracles, taking up serpents, drink deadly things, it won't hurt them. There will be signs following. We know that for a long time that was just the charismatics. But tonight we're going to look at who these people are, what churches they're in, where are they at, and who are their targets, and what it is that they're doing. Because I'm telling you, and I think you folks know this, these signs and wonders are not just taking place in charismatic churches anymore. They're taking place in Baptist churches, in King James only churches. So what Jannes and Jambres did with their signs and wonders, that same stuff is going on today in all the churches, not just charismatic. So let's learn from those guys. And just realize it says, go back to 2nd, let's finish up and go back to Timothy again, chapter 3 again. Let's just note that it says in verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. See, Jannes and Jambres found out that they were fake. Pharaoh found out that those guys were fake. They couldn't do everything that Moses and Aaron did. And someday, you know, this Paul stuff, this risen Savior stuff, is going to be manifest, and these people are going to find out what they're teaching was manifest as folly. And that's what we have discovered. We, myself, Jeanette, who's on there? Jeanette, Sally, Grandma Ken. Good to see Grandma Ken's there. Nice surprise. And Floyd's, all the people that are with us on this thing, Brian, Adriana, and all the folks that are going to listen to this thing online during the week, we have realized the folly of this modern religion. So it's been manifested to us. How did it get manifested to us? By rightly dividing the King James Bible and looking to Paul only. We can't look to both Paul and the Gospels and the Old Testament because you're mixing dispensations. You can teach the whole book is for us. You've heard me say that 1,000 times. The whole Bible there is for us. With only Paul's stuff is to us. And if the judgment seat of Christ is just not that far away, I think us preachers ought to be sticking to what Paul preaches a lot and helping people get their manner of life together. All right. Then you start sticking your nose in people's business, and then you start preaching the walk, and then you start preaching works, and then you get people mad at you, and they leave. Well, is that not what Romans 11:22 says? If thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou shalt also be cut off. And he's not talking about individual salvation. He's talking to the Gentile nation. So, we're supposed to keep teaching and preaching this stuff, and people are going to fall away from it, which bothers me because I enjoy doing this. But there's been a lot of opposition. There's been a lot of problems. There's financial problems. There's encouragement. There's discouragement. There's being busy. There's people that don't want to hear it anymore. They're not there anymore. We get new people, a couple of people go. I don't know. I don't keep track of people like I wish I could. But there's something going on. And we know what it is. He says, again, they shall proceed no further. When the risen Savior comes back, and the Gentiles that are saved, Church of God people for Christ, the risen Savior, somebody's going to figure out something's not right here. But he says to us, thou hast fully known my doctrine. Then it goes on, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. But he tells us in 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I've learned them from Paul. Well, I've learned them from the Holy Spirit. I've learned them from the risen Savior. I've learned it from my King James Bible, rightly divided. There's my assurance. And the goal is in verse 17, which we will reach someday. So, there's our lesson from Jannes and Jambres. What they did then, they're doing today. And today we're going to talk about the fact that it's not just the charismatics anymore. It's all the churches. There's few left, if any. Well, I know none of them, that they're not preaching Paul only, then they're wrong. And I'll say it again. They're wrong. Men of corrupt minds. They're destitute of the truth, these nice guys with their college degrees and sweet families that they have. They have their little children that are obeying. I'm telling you, when those little children get old enough, they won't obey. They'll be gone because they know it's a fake. They know it's wrong. The sad thing is when they get so mad at this teaching of the false teachings, they get mad at God. They don't believe God exists, and they don't come back to Paul. They don't go looking for the risen Savior. They throw out their Bible, and they toss it all away. And they deal with bitterness and hatred. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. These nice guys that don't preach Paul only, they're preaching profane and vain babblings. And those babblings will eat as a canker does. And he tells us to withdraw from them before they overthrow your faith. I know some people that used to be against this stuff, but they're going back into it. Their faith is being overthrown. They're going back to this form of godliness. Anyway, I'm just rambling on with my stuff as I always do. So tonight, we won't have the video tonight either. We'll have it Wednesday if it gets here in time. Like I say, if anybody wants to help, they're more than welcome to. And we'll talk tonight about who are these Jannes and Jambres today? Where are they at? What churches are they into? Who are their targets? And how is their folly being manifested? We already know that. That's through a King James Bible, rightly divided, Paul only. And that's what exposes them for what they are. So there you go this morning.